It is only because of the grace of God why we are alive today. It is because of God's grace and His goodness, His mercy, His kindness, His long-suffering, and His patience why we are alive today. I'm telling you, when I think about how good God is, I cannot help but shake my head. When I think about how I used to be, the way I used to live my life, the type of people I had in my life, the type of relationships that I had as far as with the opposite sex, you know, the relationships that I was in with men and the female friends that I kept, that I hung out with. When I even think about the relationship that I have with some family members, I cannot help but shake my head and think about how good God is, and really honestly, deep down inside, thank Him. Because I'm telling you, most of those relationships were a mess. They were a mess. And I'm just amazed at how good God is and how patient and understanding and kind He is, and how gracious and forgiving and merciful He is. You know, because sometimes there's some people in your life, and you know, people come into your life for reasons, and some people come in for reasons and seasons. You know, some are for seasons, they come in and they function in your life however they're supposed to function in your life, and then they depart from your life. You know, some good relationships are seasonal and some not so good relationships are seasonal as well. But we thank God for both, and the reason I say we thank God for both of those kinds of relationships is because it is because even out of the bad relationship, there is something that we can learn from them and grow from them, right? So I just look at everything that I have gone through, though I'm not always proud of the things of my past, and I'm not talking about my past mistakes as though I'm mourning over them, because my past is behind me. You know that I'm a new creature is what 1 Corinthians 5:17 says. Behold, things, all things are become new, or you know, old things are behind me. I'm a new creature. But I'm just saying there was a lot that I learned, the mistakes that I made, the type of friendships that I had, the relationships that I had, the kinds of relationships that I had with men. I wouldn't do that again. I wouldn't do that again. Mm-mm. The men that I dated, I would not do that again, you know, because I'm a believer now, and I know so much more since I started to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I've grown so much, and I'm not trying to bash anyone. I'm just saying that the choices that I made, the negative choices that I made back then, I wouldn't do that now. And it's not that they are bad people. You know, we're all imperfect. The only perfect person is God. And He's not a person. God is spirit, right? But even Jesus Christ, God, when He came in the flesh, He was still perfect. There was no sin. There was no spot. There was no blemish in Him. He lived a perfect life for those 33 and a half years He was on earth. And I'm saying that because it's very important, the type of relationships that you have in your life. Because those relationships can either make you or break you. You know, they can bring you to a breaking point, or they can either uplift you. And, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And that scripture is so true, you know. Friends are supposed to lift friends up. Friends sharpen friends, you know. Jesus Christ is a friend to sinners, and that is us. He's the friend to the friendless. That is us. You know, there's no earthly friend that could ever compare to the friendship, the type of friendship that you will find in Christ Jesus. You know, I love that he called Abraham his friend. You know, and Jesus wants to be your friend as well. He wants you to have a relationship with him. You know, Ruth and Naomi was daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. Ruth was a Moabitess young woman, and she was married to Naomi's son. And Naomi's son died, and Naomi had another daughter-in-law. Her name was Orpah. And Orpah was married to Naomi's other son, and he also died. And here Naomi finds herself. She's a woman of God, and she finds herself in the land of Moab, where there's nothing but idolatry. They don't worship the friend that we call Jesus. And Naomi's husband, Elimelech, he too dies. And here she is alone. And she's left with her two daughters-in-law. And I cannot think of a situation where someone would be in more need, more desperate need than Naomi, of having a true friend. And Naomi proved to Ruth that she was a friend. And Ruth proved to Naomi that she was truly a friend, because she stood by her mother-in-law after her husband, Naomi's son, had died. I love what Naomi said when she went back to Bethlehem, and they called her, I don't remember what, they called her by her name, and she stopped them and she says, don't call me that. Call me bitter. Call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations and we put ourselves in negative situations and we begin to blame God. We say it's God's fault. She forgot that Christ was a true friend. God was a true friend. Oftentimes we make decisions without first seeking the face of God, without first asking God his opinion, his take on the decisions that we're wanting to make. And we go ahead and we do make those decisions, and things don't turn out that great. And then we turn around, we blame God, and we say God has dealt bitterly with us. Can I just tell you, God doesn't do evil. There's nothing evil in your life. There's no unhappy situation. There's no mishap, no setback, no sabotage, no setup, no stagnancy, no blockage, no hindrance in your life that God is causing. God doesn't do evil. You know, sometimes when you walk in disobedience to God, when we don't follow his instructions, or when we don't ask God the direction that we're to go, the path that we're supposed to take, we cause these things to take place in our life. Hallelujah. We cause these things to happen in our life, setbacks and setups and stuff like that. And then we begin to blame God, like Naomi. She says, look, I might look good, but I don't feel good. I might look like all is well. I might look blessed, but I'm not feeling blessed right now, is what Naomi said when she returned to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. This is what she said to the women. She said, don't call me that. Call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me. God didn't do that to her. Did God tell them to go to Moab? You know, you're running from the frying pot, is what my mom says, and then you fall into the fire. You know, the frying pot, the oil in the pot might be hot, but then to fall from the pot into the fire makes it even worse. So she left Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go into Moab, because there was a famine in Bethlehem. And I figure her husband thought, you know, let me take my wife and my sons and go someplace where I feel like, you know, there's prosperity there. There's abundance there. It looks like a fruitful land. But who knows that sin always looks good on the outside? Sin always, always looks good on the outside, and it's sick on the inside. You know, sin is sick. So they went to Moab because Moab did not have a famine. And eventually she lost everything. She lost her sons and she lost her husband. But she had a friend named Ruth that stuck to her like glue. Ruth chapter 1. In verse 6, Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return, Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each of to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he has dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in your house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said in verse 11 of Ruth chapter 1, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Here Naomi goes blaming God. You know, in one breath, Naomi is praising God. And in the other breath, with the same tongue, she is saying God has dealt poorly with her. She said, and Naomi said in verse 8, Unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And Naomi, I beg your pardon, verse 14, And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Orpah, I tell you, there's a friend, people, that sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus Christ. Naomi tells her two daughters-in-law, listen, go back to your mother's house, you know, that you might be able to get married again. Naomi says, listen, I'm an old woman and I'm not married. And even if I should get married tonight and conceive tonight, are you going to wait until I give birth and my sons grow up so you can marry them again? She says, no, you're not going to do that. She says, I'm old. I've lived my life. Let me return to Bethlehem. Let me return to my homeland. Amen, is what she said. She says, you go back to your mother's house. And the Bible says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto Naomi. Ruth is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You see, you need friends in your life. Can I tell you something? You need friends in your life that you can call anytime. You need friends in your life that will not get tired of hearing from you. You need friends in your life that will be there at every beckoning call. People need people. People need people. You have to be long-suffering. You have to be merciful. You have to be understanding, and you must not judge. You must not judge, because you know what? You know, today you're up and tomorrow you are down. We live in a world that is so complicated, a world that is so full of evil, and people need evil people, right? I beg your pardon. People need people. You cannot get tired of people. Amen. Because you don't know when you're going to be in the position where you really and truly are going to need a shoulder to cry on. What if you're stuck between a rock and a hard place? You need that friend, that one friend or friends. We need many friends, right? People need friends, right? If we didn't need friends, the Bible wouldn't talk about friendships, right? It wouldn't talk about iron sharpening iron. It wouldn't talk about two are better than one. We need friends, and we must not judge and we must not criticize, because you don't know when you are going to have a down day. You don't know when you are going to be in need of someone to really talk to. You have to have people that you can confide in. You have to have people that you can trust. You have to have people that you can pick up the phone and call. You have to have people in your life, where you are down. In your finances, when you're down on your luck, they're there to lift you up. You have to have people in your life where they can call you for help as well, not just you calling them for help. Amen. We have to be long-suffering, we have to be merciful, and we have to be faithful in our relationships. It is because of Abraham's faithfulness to God why God called Abraham his friend. You cannot get tired of people. If you are tired of people, you need to reevaluate yourself. Amen. You really need to sit down and think about yourself. People need people, people. People need people. You're going to need someone one day. Everybody needs somebody. Yes, you have your family members. Yes, you have your co-workers, but you need friends. You need friends that you can go out with and fellowship with. You need friends that you can just have a little chat and a laugh over the phone. You need a friend or friends that you can go out to breakfast, to brunch, to lunch, to dinner with. You need friends that you can just socialize with. That is what life is about. Life is not about you sitting down and talking about someone negatively or saying this person is annoying, this person talks too much, I'm not in the mood for this today, I'm not in the mood for that today. Today might be their day, but when is your day coming that you're going to need that ear? When is your day coming that you're going to need that person to sit down and really listen to you and so you can pour your heart out? Because what you can share with a friend... Hallelujah. What you can share with one of what they call your female friend, or what you can share with a male friend, you might not necessarily be able to share it with a random co-worker. Amen. It's not every friend that you're going to have close. Hallelujah. Peter was close to Jesus Christ. John was close to Jesus Christ. Jesus had 12 disciples, but there were some of them that were closer to Jesus than the others. When he went up into the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he transfigure in front of? Peter, James, and John, the three. When Jesus went to Talitha's house and raised her from the dead, who was with him in the house? Jesus told everybody to leave the house. He says, what's all this ado? What is all this mourning and crying for? Why do you make an ado? The girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they all laughed. You see? Jesus knew he couldn't trust some people. He can only trust certain people to a certain extent. Amen. You cannot be hypocritical. You cannot be judgmental. You're not supposed to gossip about your friends. Amen. You're supposed to love your friends. You're supposed to support your friends. You're not supposed to be sharing things that your friend shares with you unless you're permitted to do so. Your friend is expressing his or herself because he trusts in you or she trust in you. It's not for you to take a megaphone and announce. Jesus told them, those that laughed when he said, the girl is not dead but asleep. He told them to leave the house, and he kept Peter, James, and John in the room with him because he knew he could trust them. Now we know that Peter was broken. He is the same one that denied his friend Jesus Christ, right? But Jesus knew for surety that Peter loved him with all of his heart, y'all. Ruth loved Naomi with all of her heart. Ruth did not cleave. The Bible says Ruth clave to Naomi, and Orpah wept, kissed Naomi, and left. There's some friends that won't go all the way with you, but then you have those who will cling to you. They will cleave to you. Understand? They will go with you through hell and back. Hallelujah. They will be your friend when you are down, and they'll be your friend when you are up. They will support you when God lifts you. They won't judge you. They won't criticize you. They won't compare you. They won't wish you evil in their heart and their mind when God has promoted you. Hallelujah. They will rejoice for you when God is lifting you. That is a true friend. True friends don't tear friends down in their heart. True friends don't tear friends down in their mind. True friends are supportive in their words and in their actions to their friends. They don't tear them. True friends don't carry jealousy. True friends are not envious. True friends do not gossip against their friend. Amen. True friends are supportive. Hallelujah. Orpah says, no, I can't go all the way with you, Ruth. I don't want to suffer when I go back to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Ruth said something different. She says, Naomi, where you go, I will go. She says, listen, where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will I die, and there will I be buried. Ruth said, what an amazing friend that old woman Naomi had. What an amazing wife she had to be to Naomi's son. If she is loving on her mother-in-law like this, can you imagine how Ruth loved her husband? Hallelujah. She didn't love Naomi because she was married to Naomi's son. She loved Naomi because she is a true friend. And there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus Christ. She said, Naomi, where you're buried, I'm going to be buried there. The Lord do so to me and more also if aught but dead part thee and me. Listen, Ruth says it's only death that can separate us. True friends support their friends. True friends don't speak ill of their friends. True friends don't gossip about their friends. True friends don't say things behind their friend's back that they cannot say in front of their friend. Because if you're speaking negatively about your friend behind his back or behind her back, you are not truly a friend. If whatever you're saying behind your friend's back, think about it. Can you say it in front of him? Would it make him feel good if you said that to his face? Would it make her feel good if you said that to her face? Are you building her up? Are you building him up? Or are you tearing him or her down? The Bible says to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Speak life. The Bible says the tongue is an unruly member. The same tongue can speak life over someone, and the same tongue speak death. Do you know your friend is depending on you and you're busy gossiping, speaking negatively about your friend? If you have to think about what you're going to say to others about your friend, and I'm saying friend because the friend thinks that you are his friend or the friend thinks that you are her friend, but true, really and truly, you are not a friend because friends don't discuss friends. Amen. Think about the fact that you're having to ask yourself or question yourself before you say what you say. If you're having to question yourself, should I say this? Should I be talking about this? It's probably because you're not supposed to, because true friends don't gossip about their friends. Do you know why Jesus loved David? Because he says David is a man after his own heart. Amen. When God killed David and Bathsheba's son, did David curse God out? Did he speak negatively about God? No. When the prophet Nathan approached David, hallelujah, about his sin, what did David do? He went into repentance. David didn't talk about, oh, Jesus this and Jesus that. He repented. Amen. He knew Jesus was a true friend because even though David was in the sin of adultery and murder, amen, and Bathsheba he had a child out of wedlock with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, He had a child, even though David knew God's word is true and whatever God says he will do, he will do. David still went and he fasted and he prayed. He begged his friend Jesus. He begged God not to make the child die in prayer. You know why David went to God? Even though he knew God spoke the word, even though he understood the punishment for his sin was the death of his son, he still went to his friend because he knows his friend. He knows God is a friend. God might not give David what he wants because God has to punish sin. Right? He didn't give David the life of his son. He didn't spare the child. The child died, but he knew that God will still listen to him. So he pressed into prayer with God. That is the type of friendship, relationship you're supposed to be having with your friends. Amen? Your friends are supposed to be able to freely come to you and talk something or say something or do something, and you're not apt to go run and tell it to everybody else. That is not nice. It's not nice. You know, I love the book of Exodus 20 and 12. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days might be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Right? Why does the Bible says to honor your father and mother? Can I just say this? I have children. And my children honor me and my children have respect for me. I don't befriend my children. I'm a friend to my children, but I don't befriend them. When I say I'm a friend to my children, meaning my children can come to me and talk to me about anything. They're comfortable coming to me and talking to me about anything. But when I say I don't befriend my children, I'm a friend to my children. I don't talk bad about my children. I don't gossip about my children, right? But I'm a friend to my children, but I don't befriend my children, meaning I don't hang out with my children because they're my children. Amen? We're not hanging out like we're besties or like they would hang out with their male friends or their female friends. No, we don't hang out like that because I am their mother. I am a friend to them, but I'm still their mother. But I don't befriend them because if you befriend your children, what happens? Your children lose respect for you. I do not talk about my friends with my children. And my children would never ever come to me and try to discuss any of my friends because they know I am a true friend to my friends. And I don't have that type of relationship where they would even come to me because I don't have that friend-friend relationship, come play with me, come talk to me relationship with my children where they have the audacity to want to come to me to gossip about my friend with me. Now, if you're having that type of relationship with your children, you need to take a look at you. And you need to take a look at what you're doing to your children. What are you teaching your children? What are you instilling in your children? Why they think it's okay to come and gossip about your friend with you and you do likewise? No. You see, when Naomi and Ruth showed up in Bethlehem, the women bragged. She said, the women told Naomi, wow, you're such a lucky woman. You have such an amazing daughter-in-law. She is such a blessing to you, is what the women told to Naomi. What a blessing. What a friend. What a good woman Ruth is to you, Naomi. How she stands by you. How she supports you. And because of how Ruth treated Naomi, word got to Boaz. Amen. He got to Boaz and he heard how good she was to her mother-in-law. And because of that, Boaz favored Ruth. And because of the favor that is on Ruth's life, Naomi was blessed in the process. Naomi's friend said, wow, such a blessing. Your husband is dead. They said she's better than how many sons? Two sons, or 2 sons, or 10 sons? Ruth. What a friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not there herefore. The Lord recompense, verse 12, thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz said, I pray God bless you. You've left everything and everyone to support, to be there with your mother-in-law. So this old woman doesn't return to the land of Bethlehem empty, with no family and no friend. Ruth decided, I'm going all the way with you, Naomi. I'm going to die where you die. I'm going to serve your God. We're going to live in the same place. That's a true friend. That's a friend. You have to respect your father and your mother. You have to. And you have to respect your friends. Respect friendships. Respect relationship. Be loyal. Be respectful. Be humble. Love. Be committed. Be true. Be honest. Be Christ-like. You know, Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Whatever your children are doing is what you've taught them. The Bible says, if you train them in the way they're to go, train them up in the Word of God, train them up in the Holy Scriptures, teach them how they ought to behave, they won't depart from it when they get old. They won't. Can I go to Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 to 7? Exodus chapter 20. Verses 3 to 17, I beg your pardon. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon what? The children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. So when you walk in disobedience, when you walk in hypocrisy, when you walk in envy, when you walk in jealousy, when you walk in gossip, when you walk in strife, when you walk in ridicule, when you just walk in bitterness and hatred and anger, when you walk in the things that are contrary to God, what are you doing? You're causing God to punish your descendants. The Bible says in Exodus 20 and 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Your father's sins have been fallen on your children. If you look at your family, if you look at your mother, if you look at your sister, if you look at your brother, look at the men in your family, look at the women in the family, look at the young women in the family. If you find the grandmother behaving one way, more than likely the grandmother's daughter is behaving that way. And that daughter's daughters are behaving that way. Why? Because the sin just continues in your family line. How you've been taught is what you are going to teach. But as believers, we have a choice. We can pick good or evil. I've lived in some not very nice places in this country. They call it the ghetto word, right? I've lived in some places not so nice where it's low income, poor people live there, and they behave a certain way. But I did not behave the way they behaved. You can live in a pig pen, but it doesn't mean you're a pig. It doesn't make you a pig. You choose whether or not you want to behave like a pig. Your mother may behave one way, but as believers, you have a choice not to behave in a negative way that your mother behaved. We have a choice in whether we're going to do good or evil. The Bible says you're to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Is either you're going to serve darkness or light. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. Ruth loved Naomi very much. I don't know who this is for, but this is just random. I just hear the Lord saying to somebody, do not kill the baby. Instead, give him to the other woman. God says to give her the baby. Give her the baby. Give her the baby. You know, we have to fear God and we have to keep his commandments. This is the duty of all mankind, and that is to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, there's a story in scripture. There were in the book of 1 Kings. Let me find it. I'll tell you the story. It's 1 Kings chapter 3, right? And there are two harlots that lived in a house, and I think one harlot had a baby 3 days before the other. And at midnight, one of the harlots, one of the women, overlaid her baby, and the baby died, suffocated and died. And they went to Solomon, and they were both bringing the same story to Solomon, saying, this is my baby, and the dead baby's her baby, and vice versa. And they kept going on. And I love the wisdom that God gave Solomon. He used such wisdom. They were going back and forth, and the Lord and Solomon said, bring me a sword. And when he brought the sword, Solomon said, divide the baby in two. Cut the baby in two and give one mother half and give the other one half, because they can't make up their mind whose baby it is. Everybody's saying the same thing. And when the real mother heard what Solomon said to cut the baby in half, she said, no, please, don't kill my baby. Don't kill my baby. Don't kill my baby. Give her my baby. And Solomon used his wisdom that God gave him and say, you know, it's this woman's baby. Give her the baby. Because it's a true mother that is going to hurt if they see their child being hurt. No real mother wants to see their child get hurt or be harmed in any way. And this is the same thing God is talking about. If you truly love your children, you would not do things or allow things that you know will hurt them. And to discuss your friends with your children, you're actually hurting your children as well. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Verse 20 of 1 Kings chapter 3. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me. Stealing. A stealing mother. Stealing somebody's baby. Give the woman her baby. Give her the baby. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. What a sickness. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Listen to Solomon's decision. Verse 23, then said the king, one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said in verse 24, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearn upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine or thine, but divided. Wicked woman. Then the king answered in verse 27 and said, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. She is the mother thereof. She loved her son very much. She loved her son very much. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. For they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. I don't know. I didn't have a cesarean section. I had natural birth. And childbearing and childbirth hurts. It hurts. And I did not bring, God didn't entrust me with my children to nurture and grow in this earth. To destroy them in any way, physically, emotionally, mentally. God has entrusted me with his two children to raise them in this earth, train them up in the way they are to go, so when they get old, they don't depart from it. And like any caring mother that loves their children, listen, my bowels will yearn over my children as well. This wicked woman, that is probably a friend because they're roommates. Yes, they're both harlots. It doesn't matter. We're not here to judge. They're both harlots. That's what they did for a living, right? But the fact that they're living together, that simply means they were some kind of friend. To be sharing one house together. They had an apartment together. They both had babies. And one stole the other one's baby. She slept on her baby and her baby died. And she stole her friend's baby when her friend slept at night. And she was willing to have the king divide her friend's baby in half. She was willing for her friend's baby to be put to death because she was that hateful and that wicked. I told you when I began, I've had some not so good friends in my life. Amen? It is better for you to not be pretentious, to be someone's friend, than to be pretending to be someone's friend. Deceiving someone is not good. Being pretentious to someone is not good. It is hurtful. It is painful. And I don't know you know, I'm just going with the Holy Spirit here. This story of this mother and these two mothers and the baby, you know, if you have stolen someone's baby, if you have coerced or tricked someone out of, you know, into giving up their child to you for adoption without their knowledge, or because they were in a hard situation financially, or they were going through some kind of depression, they weren't doing well, but you were in a better position financially, you know, you need to give the woman her baby back. And that's what God is saying. Because God says he'll visit the iniquities of the fathers unto their children. You know, anything you do wrong, there is a punishment for it. God is going to punish it. Amen? We cannot use our status or whatever financial means we have. You know, I know there are surrogates, people that, you know, have babies for children. That's different. God is not talking about this. This is two women that had a baby, and one rolled over her baby, suffocated the baby to death. The baby died, and then she stole the other one's child. You might not be able to have a child, or, you know, and somebody else has a child, which is a friend of yours, and for whatever reason, you've worked it where you've taken your friend's child. And God is saying to you today to give the woman her baby. I said to you, God is the one that entrusts us with his children. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to God. And if someone carried a baby 9 months, God placed that baby in that woman's womb. He didn't place it in your womb. So by right, the baby belongs to that woman, because that's who God has entrusted in rearing or raising his child in this earth. So you need to give that woman her baby back, because you're going to have a real big problem with God. God is really going to have a problem with you. He's having a problem with you right now. That's why he's talking about it. And he's saying, give the woman her baby back. If God trusted you, he would have given you a baby. And you're proving to God why he cannot trust you. Because if it's okay with you stealing someone else's baby and causing another woman so much pain, why would God entrust you? Why would he bless your womb with a seed? Why would he trust you to raise a child in this world if you have the heart to steal somebody else's child? Huh? And you're not doing this because you want to help. You're doing this because you're wicked. You're doing this because you feel like you're spiting the mother. You're doing this because you're trying to prove a point. And you're doing this because you're not functioning Christ-like upstairs. In your mind is not right. And you need to listen, pay attention to the voice that is speaking to you. Because the voice that you're listening to is not the voice of God. Because God did not place that seed in your womb. He placed it in that other woman's womb. And God says, give her the baby. You know, Hannah prayed so hard for Samuel. Hannah prayed so hard year after year. Hannah begged God for a baby. Peninnah flaunted her baby in Hannah's face. Hallelujah. Rachel warred with Jacob. She warred with Leah for a baby. And Leah, what did Leah do? Leah pretended for a baby. Hallelujah. And here you are, killing God's baby. You're killing them physically, and you're killing them emotionally, and you're killing them spiritually. And then you think you're doing the child a favor by allowing the child to probably see his mother or his father. You think you're doing a favor. You're destroying that child. You're killing that child. And God said, give the woman her baby, because you're going to have to answer to God. You don't make an alliance with the enemy. When you walk in disobedience to God, when you steal people's baby, what are you doing? You're walking in alliance with the enemy. And God says you must resist the enemy. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Give the woman her baby. Listen, you better give the woman her baby. You know, in Genesis chapter 4 and 8, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain killed his little brother Abel because of jealousy. Let me tell you something. The baby that you are that you've stolen might grow up to be the death of you. You see Cain, how he turned out? He turned out to be a murderer. You better give the woman a baby. You're fighting for people's children, and some of you raising murderers and don't even know it. Cain talked with his brother Abel. Why? And killed his brother Abel, Genesis 4 and 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You think God is not seeing or God is not hearing? He sees everything and he hears everything. All you mothers, all you fathers that are discussing your friends with your children, you need to stop, because God sees and he hears everything. And some of you that have stolen people's babies through pretense, you need to give the women their babies. Some of you are raising murderers. Some of you are raising thieves. Some of you are raising liars. Because you're walking in disobedience to God. Ruth had Obed had Jesse had David, and the lineage continues. It continues. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God bless you.